Hello, good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your Thursday afternoon. And we got a great show lined up today, as I can't wait to get into it, because there's going to be some really interesting topics that I'll be talking about on today's show, in which that one column that was written by a WMFO alumni, Sean Silver, that I want to get into. And I think it's going to be a really good and a really interesting topic to discuss, especially when we talk about the current state of sports in Boston. So I can't wait to really get into that. But before we do, just want to give everybody a reminder that this broadcast and all broadcasts of the Shukri Wright Show is available on 91.5 FM WMFO, as well as WMFO.org. But also, you can find it on the Shukri Wright's podcast, which is available on iHeartRadio. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify as well. And as always, if you want to leave a voice message, you can call in 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Now, there was a great article that was written today by Sean Silver, as I mentioned, who is a WMFO alumni currently of 98.5 The Sports Hub. And the title of the article is called, "As the Bruins Windows Closes, It's On to the Celtics to Win Boston's Next Championship." And when I read that title, I began to think to myself, I said, you know, I find it really interesting how it just seems in a matter of almost a calendar year that the tides have turned here in Boston. And Boston, for 20 years, has been the sports capital of the United States, with an unprecedented run in championships by all of its local teams that has been absolutely unparalleled and even, frankly, to the envy of the city of New York. And we are now entering interesting times in Boston, especially in the Boston sports landscape, in which that there's been a change of the guard. Tom Brady is no longer here in New England. Torrey Krug is no longer a member of the Boston Bruins. And Krug has been an absolutely big part of the Bruins' success within the last 8-9 years that he was part of the Boston Bruins franchise. And I think that it's super critical to think about the point that I'm about to make here. That we sit here and we talk about the Boston Bruins, New England Patriots, the Boston Red Sox, and the Boston Celtics, in terms of the state of each franchise and where they are and their chance of winning a title and bring another championship to this city, you got to ask the question, which team really brings the best chance? Now, I want to go back to the article that Sean Silver wrote. And there was something that I saw that I really thought it was really important to bring up. And he wrote this interesting part here in this column that you can find on 985thesportshub.com. He wrote, quote, "With Tom Brady in Tampa and the Red Sox ready to take a Rip Van Winkle nap from contention, either or both of these teams could have leapfrogged the Patriots above the fold of your local sports section. Instead, Boston remains fixated on a football team that doesn't have a realistic shot at a Super Bowl, with the source of the city's next major pro sports championship undetermined. Shout out to the Cannons. Unquote. The Red Sox, and I know, and I'm going to catch Fleet when I say this, but if I'm being completely honest, the Red Sox are not realistically expected to compete for a title anytime soon. They're in a rebuild. I mean, you know, I know they had a pretty forgettable 2020 season, and right now it doesn't look like there's really much glimmer of hope for the 2021 Boston Red Sox team. The Patriots, well, although they have Cam Newton, but this, I feel like this is the year in which that the Patriots have a chance to really surprise a lot of people, especially locally. That even right now, even as a Patriots fan, I admit that I don't think the Patriots really have a realistic shot of contending for a Super Bowl title this season. I just don't see it. Even with Cam Newton returning after having to miss time due to being tested positive for COVID-19, I just don't see the Patriots as being legitimate Super Bowl contenders currently, at least for the next year or two, maybe. But with Bill Belichick, you can never count this team out. And that's just the fact that we've learned time and time again in the city. And a week into free agency for the Boston Bruins, I don't feel good about this team at all. I don't feel good about where this team currently is. They lost Torey Krug to free agency. He signed the 7-year contract with the St. Louis Blues. Zdeno Chara, no idea whether if he's going to resign or not, but he is expected to resign. But it's not going to come with an expectation that, oh, suddenly this team is still going to be as good as it has been the last couple of years, or even if this team is still a Stanley Cup contender. I don't know. None of us really know. The Celtics, on the other hand, well, this may just be the beginning of a wide open window to win a title. We talk about Kemba Walker when he's healthy, how much of a great factor he is. He is a tremendous factor offensively for the Boston Celtics, but when he's not healthy, this team has run into problems. And I like the young core of this team, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I really do. But after what we saw in the bubble, especially in the Eastern Conference Finals against Miami, I do have legitimate questions as to how mature is this core in understanding that they haven't won anything yet and that they have a lot of work ahead if they are going to catapult themselves to the top of the East and take a stronghold on the Eastern Conference. That's pretty much wide open. I mean, right now, the only kings of the East right now are Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Toronto Raptors, and the Celtics, yeah. Philadelphia 76ers, if they ever can find a way to get out of their own way, yeah, maybe. But the truth is that the Celtics window may just be opening now. It may just now be opening, but all of it will be dependent on what moves or not that Danny Ainge makes. Because that is something that I do wonder and I do think about. If the Boston Celtics are going to take that step into becoming championship contenders, because they're a playoff contender, but I don't see them as championship contenders, not just yet. They still need a big man. They still need scoring depth. They need to badly improve that bench, which showed weakness in the Eastern Conference Finals against Miami. So the Celtics have work to do, but they may be that team locally between the four teams, between the Patriots, Red Sox, Bruins, and Celtics, that I have the most confidence in, to say that, you know what, maybe this team has a shot. Maybe this team has a legitimate chance to win a championship and bring a championship to Boston. Now, Sean Silver wrote in the article in which, quote, the Celtics window may be opening. Their key players are in their early 20s, after all, but only if Kemba Walker stays healthy and they can take the learning experience of this summer's at times frustrating postseason and emerge better for it. Danny Ainge may need to make a move after waiting out LeBron in the East and the Golden State dynasty at West. The future is now. But as it turns out, a soon-to-be 36-year-old LeBron James will remain a factor regardless of time zone, continent, or solar system. I love how he worded that, by the way. But I also want to mention that you talk about 20 years of unprecedented success in the city between the four teams. Although the Patriots and the Red Sox are the two franchises that won multiple titles during this stretch, the Patriots with 6, the Red Sox with 4, and the Bruins and the Celtics, you know, blessing the city with a championship run of their own in 2008, 2011, respectively, for the Celtics and Bruins. But I do wonder, especially as we enter the final month and a half of 2020 and going into 2021, who's the next Boston team that can actually get the job done? Who has a realistic shot? And that the fact of the matter is this. The Bruins, the way I look at this current core and as accomplished as they are and as experienced as they are, they've underachieved. They've absolutely underachieved. Okay, they won the cup in 2011. Great. 2013, they lose in that heartbreaking Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals against Chicago. 2 goals in 17 seconds. But the year prior, 2012, in which they had a chance to defend the Stanley Cup, they lose in the first round in 7 games to the Washington Capitals. And as well as, don't get me started on the 2013-14 season, in which that they were the President's Trophy winning team. But Montreal, good old Montreal Canadiens, beat them in 7 games on home ice in 2014. And then the worst of all, oh God, last year, 2019 Stanley Cup Finals, Game 7 of the Cup Final, the Cup is in the building, and the Bruins absolutely didn't even show up. I can't even say they even choked. They just didn't even show up at all. That in itself is the part that's the most inexcusable to me. That was their last great chance. And now with Torey Krug gone and the uncertainty of next season and any moves that Don Sweeney may or may not even make, there's no guarantees if this team will even be good. This team will be good enough to get to the playoffs. But in Boston, you and I know that the expectation is defined by their ability. Can they win a championship? That's what 20 years of winning has done in the city. It's not about making the playoffs. It's about winning titles. And which of the four local teams do you think has the best opportunity of winning a title? That in itself is going to be the fascinating part of it all, is to see which one. Right now, if I had to hang my hat on any one of these four teams, I do believe it's the Celtics. And even though at times, especially in the last four postseasons, we took going back to 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. They get to 3 Eastern Conference Finals, and although they're 0-3 so far, in the 1 year they didn't, it was a colossal disappointment by the Kyrie-led Boston Celtics. That in itself should tell you a lot, an awful lot, about this core that has gotten close but still remains so far. And even now, even as I think about it, we are in a transition period. You don't know what to expect for the Bruins next season. The Patriots, the reality is they are still very much a work in progress. They are a work in progress, especially considering the 2020 NFL season. That is, let's just face it, they're hanging on by a thread. With more outbreak, I'm not talking about the Tennessee Titans. The Atlanta Falcons, they had a shutdown practice today, as a matter of fact, in which that they had to shut down their facility. They have one new positive, and that the team is still currently working through details. They had a staff member test positive for COVID-19. So I believe that the NFL season is hanging on by a thread, but even with all that being said, and even for the Patriots, in terms of the debacle that took place, in terms of the team being sent to Kansas City to play regardless, I do think that this team is a work in progress. We just don't know. We don't know if this team is good enough to win the Super Bowl yet, fully. But I'm not writing them off completely. But if we're being realistic right now, I'm not sure. I have my doubts. I hope I'm wrong. But as we know, and as I mentioned earlier in the segment, you never count out a Bill Belichick coach team, ever. That you just don't do. And that in itself is a beautiful reminder as to why Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. You've known this, and I've known this for a while now. And that in itself should tell you an awful lot in terms of the Patriots. So, with that being said, the Celtics have had disappointments in its own right. But I do think the Celtics are the last team here in Boston that can still give its city another championship. And that, I really do believe it will happen. It can happen, but it's a matter of when. But Danny Ainge is going to have to make moves. It's going to have to make changes to this roster. Coming up next is the Los Angeles Dodgers the modern-day version of the Atlanta Braves? It's an interesting question, and I want to talk about that in great length. Coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, streaming nationwide on TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
To Rossano Radio on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM.
Bringing you the hottest tracks from around the globe.
I always look forward to Rossano Radio.
With your host, FR. Mondays at 10 a.m.
Rossano Radio on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM
and live worldwide at WMFO.org.
Mondays at 10 a.m.
Rossano Radio, only here on WMFO.
Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's humble and perfect. She likes everyone. She even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no. That's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison? Why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopRex.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Heaven can always turn around. Too much of heaven. nothing else around them. No love, no friendship, nothing else. Just the dollar bill coming on into their pocket, into their bank account. And that's too much of him bringing them underground. Let me tell you what it's all about. It's called money dependence today. And people just keep on going on looking at the dollar bill and nothing else around them. No love and no friendship, nothing else. Just the dollar bill coming on into their pocket, into their bank account. Too much of heaven.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO and Medford Tufts Freeform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org, wherever you may be listening, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your Thursday afternoon commute home. And listen, I am absolutely happy to be here with you today. It's mid-October, and listen, it's crazy when I think about how the sports year has gone. And this sports year is gone. It's going to go in the record books because of COVID, and how it's doing everything off the normalcy sphere, if you will. And if you think about it, like right about now, we usually are talking about the beginning of the Boston Bruins season. Obviously, the NFL season being in progress as is, we were talking about that as well. And not to mention, also, that we will also be talking about the Celtics and they're getting ready for the NBA season to restart, you know, all that jazz. And not to mention baseball. Baseball doing what it does best. And that is what? Being the national pastime. And you know, the thing that I find the most interesting about all of this is that the Los Angeles Dodgers were a team going into the 2020 season before the pandemic that I had my eye on. I was intrigued to see how are they going to handle the disappointments of getting so close but not being able to get over the hump, as well as they had a record-breaking regular season in 2019, lost in 5 games in the NLDS to the eventual world champion Washington Nationals. And they go out and they sign, they trade, and they eventually sign to an extension Mookie Betts. And the expectation became, yet again, and in some cases larger for the Dodgers, is this finally the year for them to win a world title? Is this finally it? Now, everything looked copacetic. Everything looked good during the regular season. Best record in the major leagues. Coasted through, you know, the National League, and get to the playoffs. Now, they get through the NLDS, in the NLCS. They fall behind 0-2 to the Atlanta Braves. And then last night, they opened a colossal can of whoop cushion. I want to just leave it at that. You know what I mean. And they score 11 runs. 11 freaking runs in the first inning alone. And they would go on to beat the Atlanta Braves in game 3, 15-3. Now, I asked this question yesterday because for those who don't know, I also have another radio show for a different station on Wednesdays that's live. It's called the Know Your Rights Show, 100.1 FM WBRS, in which that I mentioned and I brought this question up, and I'm going to bring it up here because this is really the first chance I've got to talk about this on this show. And I think it's a compelling topic, and I think it's a legitimate question to ask because the story has yet to be written on the 2020 Dodgers. No way in shape and form am I sitting here saying they're done, they don't have a chance, it's all doom and gloom, finish. They won game 3 last night. Otherwise, they'll be staring at an 0-3 hole. And the question that I ask is this. Is the Los Angeles Dodgers the modern-day version of the 1990s Atlanta Braves? Okay, allow me to give you some historical context, especially for those that are too young to remember those 1990s Atlanta Braves teams. Those Atlanta Braves teams in the 90s won 5 National League pennants. 5. 1991, 1992, 1995, 1996, and 1999. But out of those 5, they've only got 1 championship to show for. And that was 1995, 25 years ago this month. And all of that, also, don't forget, 14 straight division titles. 14 straight. 14 straight years. They won a division between 1991 and 2005. But they only got 1 championship to show for. They get to the World Series 5 times in that stretch. But none since 1999. And they only won 1. 1995. So, I ask because you look at the Dodgers. And now, I'm a person that likes to look at the entire picture. The big picture. From a whole standpoint. Now, I want to break this down in 2 parts. In 2 parts here. I want to break it down from 2013 to 2016. And then the second part, I want to look from 2017 to present. 2013, 14, 15, 16. The Dodgers, they get to the NLCS in 2013. They lose to the St. Louis Cardinals. 2014, they lose in the division series. They lose in the division series to the St. Louis Cardinals. 2015, they lose in the division series again, this time to the New York Mets. 2016, they lose in the NLCS to the eventual world champion Chicago Cubs. And then here's the second part. 2017, they get to the World Series. First World Series appearance is 1988. They lose in 7 games to the Houston Astros. As we all know, that championship does not count for anything. They cheated. Everybody knows it now. They cheated, and Dodger fans have every right to be bitter and angry about that. I don't fault them for that. 2018, they get back to the World Series, but this time they lose in 5 games to the Boston Red Sox. 2019, they win 106 games, only to lose to the Washington Nationals in 5 games in the NLDS to the eventual world champion Washington Nationals. With all of that being said, and all of that being taken into consideration, they won How many? They won 8 straight division titles in the process. The Braves won how many? 14 in a row at one point. And this should create some thought. And I want you to think about this for a moment. The Dodgers have had their chances. Can't win the big one. The Braves, as we know, they've had opportunities to win multiple, not just the one title that they won. They win multiple. Can't win the big one. Although they won Game 3 last night, and again, the story is not finished being written on the 2020 Dodgers. But it does cause me to really look at this from a big picture point of view and really wonder, this isn't just the last few years. This is going back now 7-8 years now. The Dodgers have gotten close, but no champagne, no championship glory. And I think it's very fair and it's very important that I even ask, like, hey, are they the 90s Braves? Consider this. If the Dodgers do not come back and win the NLCS and win the National League pennant and win the World Series this year, if they don't win the World Series this year, they are officially the 1990s Atlanta Braves modern day version. Because for whatever reason, that is just absolutely inexplicable. The Dodgers cannot seem to get over that hump. They've had opportunities. They've had great regular seasons. They've had regular season success. But with a core group of guys, this is going back to 2015 now, Justin Turner. And then you want to move ahead to 2016 or 2017. Cody Bellinger, Max Muncy. They couldn't get over the hump. They can't win the big one. And I think it's interesting and I think it's important to really give this some serious thought. When you look at the DNA of this team, what is in their DNA? Postseason success? Yeah, but again, there's that but. They've got there, but they did this, but they've accomplished so much, but that's what it is with this current core of Dodger players. They haven't been able to win the championship. They went out and they made the trade for Mookie Betts that really shocked and shook the baseball world. And when you look back on it, was this a trade that the Dodgers saw coming? The Red Sox knew they had to make a move. So the Dodgers came in and said, hey, here's Alex Verdugo. And they had themselves a deal. It wasn't only just that, but as well as some other details. So I really do think and wonder, when I look at the Dodgers, 8 straight division titles, 2 World Series appearances, both losses. To get to the NLCS how many times in a stretch? They get to the NLCS in 2013. They get to the NLCS in 2016, 17, 18, and this year. And they've won 2 out of the 4. They won the NLCS in 2017 and 18. And that's it. But here's the thing, and here's the problem that I have. After a while, you begin to see the true identity of this team. There's no getting away from it. There's no running away from the fact that this is a team that has had multiple opportunities. And I really do think that if they don't win the World Series this year, period, it will be a colossal failure. And they really will, in my book, earn the stigma and the tag of modern day Atlanta Braves, Dodgers of the 21st century, win division titles, get to the pennant, win the 2 pennants, can't win the World Series. And I know the Dodger players are tired of it. They've heard 1988 for so long. Even their broadcaster, Vin Scully, the legendary Vin Scully, who retired after the 2016 season. They're dying for a title over in Tinseltown. They're dying for a World Series title at Chavez Ravine. They're dying. They're starving for a World Series title. They've seen the Kings win the Stanley Cup. They've seen the Lakers. They just won the NBA title just a few days ago. They've seen it. But they haven't seen the Dodgers championship since 1988. While the counterparts to the South in Anaheim, they've won the World Series most recently in 2002. So Dodger fans know there's an enormous amount of pressure on this team. They, especially that's creating in the media, and rightfully so. So I really wholeheartedly wonder if you are the Dodgers and you look at this team, and if they don't get past the Atlanta Braves, now this series is not over. Game four is tonight. It's not over by any stretch of the imaginations. But I do have to wonder if they don't win the NLCS and they don't win the World Series, because that's what they really want this season to be all about, is winning the World Series, right? Right. Could you call them the modern-day chokers? Yes, because they've spent an exorbitant amount of money into the team. You know, they signed Kershaw to the next contract extension. They signed Mookie Betts after acquiring him in the trade to a contract extension. They've let guys like Yasiel Puig go. They've made changes on this roster. They let AJ Ellis go at one point. And I think it's something to just absolutely think about in terms of where they go from here. And the reality is, if they don't win the World Series, shortened season or not shortened season, they are the modern-day Atlanta Braves. Close, but not close enough. And that in itself is a painful tag to have for any sports organization. Coming up next, what's up with the Boston Bruins? What's up with Don Sweeney? I have a lot I want to get into in terms of that. So stay tuned. Coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
This is Ron LaRussa. Join me Thursday mornings here on WMFO for Rock of Ages. We play the best rock from all eras, including classic rock from the 70s, rock and new wave from the 80s, alt rock from the 90s, and pop rock from the 2000s and today. Just the best rock from whenever on Rock of Ages, Thursday mornings here at 91.5 FM WMFO.
A social distancing tip.
Keeping your distance from others is important in slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are some fun things to do alone. Read a book, take a walk, unpack your suitcase from that trip you took last September, paint a self-portrait, catch up on a TV series, do a puzzle. Remember, we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, touch-free from radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Glad you're able to join the show this afternoon. And I want to also touch on something real quick that I saw earlier today, that Anthony Davis is going to resign with the LA Lakers, in which that he's not going to opt out of his $28.7 million player option, that he's going to sign the new deal. Now, what that new deal may look like, we don't know as of yet, but it is reported that the Lakers can, in fact, offer Anthony Davis a 5-year, $202 million deal this offseason. And that's more than any other team can pay Anthony Davis. So it was also mentioned that, and this is according to Yahoo Sports, that Rich Paul, which is the agent of Anthony Davis, he's going to meet with the Lakers in the coming weeks to discuss the terms of Anthony Davis's new contract. So for Lakers Nation, it is great news that Anthony Davis is going to stay with the Lakers for the next. For the next 5 years, potentially, if they can officially get a deal done within the next few weeks. Now, shifting back to local, the Boston Bruins. How are you doing? What's up? Like, how are you doing? I'd love to know, because frankly, you don't seem like you really give a damn, do you? Do you? Because I can't believe here we are on October 15th, almost a week after the free agency period began, and we're talking about the Boston Bruins possibly regressing. And it doesn't sit well with me, and I don't think it should sit well with you at all. If anything, this should really raise eyebrows and concern, because the Boston Bruins, this is a team that's had a lot of success over the past 10 years. You know, they have the Stanley Cup title and then two more finals appearances and so forth, always contending for the playoffs every single year. But here's the problem. If we're talking about currently right now, this team has gotten worse than where it was originally at the beginning of this offseason. Torey Krug, he signed a 7-year deal with $45.5 million. And that creates a big hole for the Boston Bruins, especially not just in the locker room, but especially in terms of offensive production he was able to give you as a pretty good offensive defenseman. And to be frank with you, I don't think this sits well with me. I personally just don't know, and I don't think that the Boston Bruins are in the position to take a step back, especially when they know that this is probably the last crack, if not, this is the end of this current core's chance of winning another Stanley Cup. And it's a shame. It's a shame. Now, I've been one of those Bruin fans who have talked amongst my friends on social media and say that, you know, hey, you know, this pandemic really ruined the Bruins' chances of winning the Stanley Cup this year. And I'm not using it as an excuse, but if you think about going back to March and where this team was, you think about that this team was rolling. They were on top of the NHL in terms of the standings. They were the leading President's Trophy candidate, and eventually won the President's Trophy due to, in fact, that they canceled the remaining games of the regular season and so forth. But here's the thing that I also want to point out there as well. This gave too much time off for everyone, but especially for guys like Chara, who's older, Bergeron, I mean, he needed a rest. I mean, all the guys needed a rest. But the truth is that when you talk about time versus rust, it was clear that this team was just not the same team when it came back to play in the bubble. It wasn't. And I was excited, very happy to see this team return. I really was. And then the part that had me the most disappointed, was that when this team returned, and I said it even on this show, that there's something wrong and there's something off about this team. I don't like what I've seen so far. But my goodness, you talk about a team in which that you look at the core guys like Marchand, Bergeron, Chara, Krejci, Rask, the guys that were a part of that 2011 championship core. I really do wonder, with the way that this offseason has gone, I really genuinely have concern for the direction that this Boston Bruins franchise is going in. There's still no official word on Zdeno Chara on what his decision is going to be. We're just going to have to wait and see, just like everyone else. But I also want to point out this as well, and it's important to also make mention of too, that when we talk about guys, and especially for teams that are getting older, the core is getting older, and there's definitely big changes on the horizon. If it's already started already with the departure of Krug, you have to wonder what's next. They signed Craig Smith to that 3-year deal. I like the move because it gives them additional scoring, which they have sorely lacked in the last few seasons, especially in the postseason in particular. So with that being said, I do think that the Boston Bruins, they have a lot more work to do. The fact that Mike Hoffman of the Florida Panthers is an unrestricted free agent, has not been signed yet, is absolutely shocking. It's shocking. It's disappointing, especially for the Boston Bruins, where they know they need scoring. They need secondary scoring, third line scoring in the worst way. Now, I know Mike Hoffman is not a bottom six forward, but you put him on that line with Krejci, and you put Craig Smith on that third line with Coyle, and obviously you're leaving Sean Corelli being your fourth line centerman. You have yourself multiple lines that can score, and you need that, and you obviously need that physicality. And I've said this many times in the show, but it is worth repeating. I'm willing to sacrifice on the power play for better 5-on-5 play, because this is something that the Boston Bruins have absolutely been sorely lacking the last few seasons. Especially, you go back and you watch that series against Tampa Bay. They just at times struggled on 5-on-5. They were too reliant on the perfection line of Marchand, Bergeron, and Pastrnak. Too reliant. And the part about it that has me concerned is, where was the secondary scoring going to come from? Krejci, by and large, looked good at times. Like the 2011 and 2013 versions of David Krejci that dominated in the Stanley Cup playoffs that led the Bruins to the Cup Finals of both seasons. But other than that, you got nothing from the third line. You got nothing from Nick Ritchie. And the fourth line did its job, but even then, it was a non-factor offensively. So when I think about it, and I look at it in its entirety, I just say to myself, okay, Don Sweeney, you look at this team and you tell me this team is good enough to compete for another cup? Are you kidding me? It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. When you look at teams like Tampa Bay, you look at Montreal, and Montreal has made some moves this offseason. Talk about a rival in your conference. Yeah, Montreal has gotten better. They acquired Josh Anderson, and they've made moves that has led me to believe that this is a team that is not going to be taken lightly come next season. Because frankly, you look at Montreal and you look at the moves that they made. They extended Brandon Gallagher to a 6-year contract. I mentioned they signed Josh Anderson. They also signed Tyler Toffoli as well. This team has gotten better. What can you honestly say right here, right now, about the Boston Bruins? You really can't say much. You can't, because you signed Craig Smith. Cool. But what else? This can't be it. Not when you had a chance to go out and get Taylor Hall. You didn't even have to sign him to big money. Sign him to a 1-year deal, $7 million. But Buffalo came in and signed him. And one of the things that he mentioned, he talked about on an interview with Sportsnet 590, the Fan in Toronto, and I had the chance to listen to the clip, in which that the opportunity to play alongside with Jack Eichel was something that appealed to him. And I was like, okay, cool. But what did you really expect from a guy who has played on how many teams in his 10-year career so far? He played with the Oilers, Devils, Arizona Coyotes, and now the Buffalo Sabres is going to be his fourth team in 10 years. But at the same time, I look at other teams in the East that's gotten better. You look at, okay, let's say Toronto, for example. They went out and they signed TJ Brody for a 4-year deal, $20 million, $5 million per season. Although Tampa Bay lost Kevin Shattenkirk, who was a big part of the cup run just a few weeks ago, but they also are getting a healthy Steven Stamkos potentially, and they extended Patrick Maroon. So Toronto, and also, by the way, Toronto also signed Wayne Simmonds as well. He went back home to play for his hometown Toronto Maple Leafs team. And that in itself, I look at this Boston Bruins team and I'm like, okay, what have you done? You've had a big loss with Torey Krug leaving via free agency to sign with St. Louis for 7 years, $45.5 million. That was your big loss, which is why I sit here and I think to myself and I say, why hasn't Don Sweeney been more aggressive in the free agent market? But I will also say this as well. Don Sweeney has been historically been bad on a free agent market and free agency. But what about Charlie Coyle and Marcus Johansson? Those are midseason trades. And that trade I give him a great deal of credit for. Especially since those two players were absolutely massive in the Bruins getting to the Stanley Cup Finals in 2019. But as far as free agency goes, he's had more swings and misses than he has triples. Not even home runs, triples. And that's maybe being too nice. So I'll ask you this, Boston Bruins fans. 6 days in to the offseason, how do you feel about the Boston Bruins currently? Given that other teams in the Eastern Conference have gotten better. Tampa Bay, they're going to be around for a while. Toronto, they got better. Montreal has made leaps and bounds and added offense. They acquire Josh Anderson, as I mentioned, signed him to a contract extension. Tyler Toffoli, that's a damn good and a sneaky signing on his part. On Montreal's part by Marc Bergevin. So, Boston Bruins, what do you have to show for? Oh, we signed Craig Smith. Oh, congratulations. What else? What else have you done to give me confidence that although we lost Torey Krug, that this team will be good enough to compete for another Stanley Cup? Because, frankly, this core deserves one last crack at it. And with the uncertainty of next season, with everything that's happening right now, we don't even know. We don't even know what's going to happen. We have no idea as to what to expect. And on top of that, here's even a bigger question that I'll even ask us to think about. You know that the salary cap is flat this season and next season at $81.5 million. But the NHL is a revenue-driven league. No one even knows if they'll start next season with fans in attendance. No one knows at all. Nobody knows. I couldn't even tell you to begin anything. And it's just something just to think about, especially when you look at the Bruins and the salary cap situation, but not just for only this offseason, for next offseason. What is it going to look like? What would it entail? What type of moves will they be able to do? Would they be able to make? All of those things. And I think it's all of that is something to absolutely think about. You have to think about it. Give it some serious thought. And as well as just looking at this roster, how confident do you honestly feel right now in this Boston Bruins roster currently? I don't feel very confident. When I look at Montreal, I look at Toronto, I look at Tampa Bay, I haven't even mentioned Pittsburgh. And listen, although they lost in the qualifying rounds to Montreal, but the truth of the matter is that they still have Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Jake Guentzel, Chris Letang. They still have that core there in Pittsburgh. So it would be a mistake to absolutely overlook them. Final Thoughts is brought to you by Shukri Writes, yours truly at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. I will say that the NFL and its coronavirus outbreaks has certainly wreaked havoc on the league. And for the first time, I'm not even confident that this league will be able to conclude its season, because we've seen in both in the NFL and college football how its handling of team outbreaks, especially with the big news yesterday about Nick Saban testing positive for COVID-19. And that in itself is actually scary. And it's a reminder that even though with return of sports, we thought that it would be a return of normalcy. And in some ways it has, but it's also a reminder of the times that we're living in. And I think it's important that we all remember that this is still real. We are still in the middle of a pandemic, and that it's important that we take care of one another. That will be all for this week's edition of the Shukri Writes Show, 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. You can catch this broadcast as part of the podcast of the Shukri Writes podcast on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and Anchor. Look forward to talking with you again next week. This is Shukri Writes. You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, touch-free from radio. Stay safe, stay healthy, and God bless.